Toyota's earnings tank.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Toyota in a moment. First, some breaking news. There is a verdict in the insider trading trial of Galleon hedge fund founder Raj Rajaratnam. A jury in New York City this morning convicted the hedge fund founder of conspiracy and fraud in that massive insider trading case. Details coming up. Toyota used to run a commercial way back in the 80s where people jumped up for joy. Today, nobody was saying, oh, what a feeling, in celebration. The Japanese automaker said its fourth quarter profit plummeted in its by 77%. Yet it's no surprise with the production problems in earthquake and tsunami ravaged Japan and all of the cars the automakers had to fix for various issues. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Toyota has struggled to get its operations up and running again at full capacity. Ashvin Chotai is with Intelligence Automotive Asia. He says the company can't get the parts it needs.
What the tsunami has exposed is how dependent it is on very often one or two key suppliers, which in this case happened to be in the earthquake zone.
The disaster followed a two-year stretch when Toyota recalled some 10 million cars with acceleration problems.
They were just really starting to dig themselves out of that hole when they got hit with this.
That's Ed Lapham, executive editor of Automotive News. Toyota became the world's number one automaker in 2008 during the economic meltdown, but its reign may be coming to an end.
It's now almost certain that General Motors, which is in very strong recovery mode, will surpass Toyota and again become the world's largest automaker. How's that for a change of fortunes?
I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are lower right now, 0.5% or more. The Dow down 80 points at 12,679. Walt Disney stock is down almost 4% after the company delivered disappointing results late yesterday. The amusement parks were hurt by the disasters in Japan and, of course, the poor performance of Mars Needs Moms. The price of oil is trading at about $103 a barrel, down a few cents from yesterday. The U.S. bought more goods than it sold in March, widening the nation's trade deficit to the highest level since June of last year. Alabama Governor Robert Bentley now says insured losses from the deadly tornadoes last month will top $2 billion. Those losses include all the homes damaged by the storms of last month, people who were rendered temporarily homeless. And perhaps in a twist of reality, some say the need for housing could actually help Alabama's slumping housing market. Larry Coward is a real estate expert and professor of accounting and finance at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, UAB, and he's with us now to talk about it. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. We're obviously not trying to find any kind of bright side to the devastation in Alabama. I saw it certainly firsthand in Tuscaloosa. But people are going to need housing, right?
There's over 5,000 houses destroyed in two counties, plus there's another 1,000 distributed over a much wider area. Here in Birmingham, there's sufficient supply to take care of all the people who were displaced.
What does this mean for the housing situation in Alabama?
Well, in Birmingham, there's about 10 to 12,000 houses on the market for sale right now. And at the current rate of sale, based on last month's sales, it would take 12 months for every one of those houses to be sold. Of course, now we're going to get to the bottom of the market a lot quicker than in other places. So for us, this will kind of start the absorption to get us back to a normal market.
Thousands of people, as you said, lost everything in those storms. Where's the money going to come from, Larry, to buy up these properties all over the state?
In the short run, there's going to be an inflow of cash to cover the insurance cost for those people who had insurance. Federal government, the state government, there's a lot of donations that are bringing things into the Birmingham area to try to help everybody out. The cost of this is going to be significant. The estimates right now are, you know, $2 to $5 billion and going up every day. The long-term damage is going to be pretty significant.
Well, our thoughts, of course, are with the folks in Alabama and all throughout the South as they try and recover from these horrible storms. Larry Cowart, professor of real estate and finance at UAB, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Nice talking to you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Comer Science and Education Foundation, dedicated to supporting innovative programs making a positive impact on the lives of individuals and communities.
A bullet train that'll connect China's two most important cities had its first trial run today. The Shanghai to Beijing route is the latest addition to an extensive high-speed network. But as Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, there have been some bumps along the way.
In just 8 years, China's become the bullet train capital of the world. President Obama's pointed to it as a model for high-speed rail. But lately, its squeaky clean image has been tarnished. China admitted the man in charge of its railway ministry was allegedly involved in embezzling millions from the Beijing-Shanghai project. John Scales is a transportation specialist at the World Bank in Beijing.
All indications from the government and also from our own dealings with the Ministry of Railways is that the Chinese government has confirmed that the mid- and long-term development plan is still valid.
That plan is to have 8,000 miles of high-speed rail by the end of the year, and twice that by 2020. The train between Beijing and Shanghai will take less than 5 hours to cover a distance that's more or less equal to the distance between New York City and Chicago. It'll start running in June. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally, the cardigan worn prominently by Jeff Bridges in the movie The Big Lebowski is up for auction this weekend in Beverly Hills at a Hollywood memorabilia auction. The opening bid for the dude's beige, orange, and brown zip-up knit sweater should be around $5,000, but will likely fetch a lot more. What is not up for bid is the rug that really tied the room together. You can check out the dude's sweater at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org and on Twitter at Marketplace Radio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad apps.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.